You can open your Bibles back to Isaiah 55. We will continue our study there. We began the beginning of this year, this month. And seek to hear what the Lord is saying to us. last week we looked at verse 8 and 9 in particular. We did read 6 and 7 again, but we looked at all of those four together last week. Today I want us to look at verse 10 and 11, but I want us to read verse 3 again, since I believe it is the primary verse in this passage that the Lord is speaking to us in this time. But let's read verse 3 and then 10 and 11. Incline your ear and come to me, the Lord is saying, of course. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. And in verse 10, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this word. Thank you for speaking to us, Lord. Thank you for giving us your word, giving us ears to hear, giving us the opportunity to listen to what you are saying. Because like Peter said to you, when all those people left and the crowd dispersed, and you asked the disciples if they would leave too, and Peter said, Lord, to whom would we go? Because it is you that have the words of life. So Lord, let us hear this morning, be fed and encouraged. Amen. This passage of Scripture is calling us to recognize the importance, the supremacy, the necessity, and the blessing of the Word of God. It should be our highest desire and greatest enrichment. It can be what we become all enthused, devoted to. That is the Lord in His Word. Kind of like a fellow I read about who was a Super Bowl fan. Of course, today is a Super Bowl. A man saved up his money to attend the Super Bowl one year. It was very expensive, as it is, and he was so excited to go. Once he arrived at his seat, he noticed an empty seat next to him, and he asked the man on the other side of the seat, is this seat not taken? The man sitting next to him said, yes, it used to be my wife's seat, but she passed away. The man asking said, I'm so sorry for your loss. The man, thinking of how valuable the seat was, asked the man next to him, couldn't you have given this seat to one of your friends or relatives? The man next to him said, no. The fellow said, well, why not? The man next to him said, because they're all at the funeral. You might call that a fanatic. Over the top. Obviously very silly joke. But there are people who are that fanatical about things in this world. And God is speaking through Isaiah to you and to I to help us to grasp and to understand the value of what we have in this book. Now, I want to say to begin with, we do not worship a book. We worship the Lord, a living person. And He is our Savior. But He has given us this book for us to hear His voice through. Now, is this the only way He speaks? No, He speaks in nature and creation around us. He speaks in songs, He has to me. He speaks in a whole lot of ways. He's so creative. But He never, ever contradicts this book. And the wonderful thing about knowing this word is that He speaks through it to us. I couldn't tell you how many times in our lives and in our circumstances and in things that we were facing that we've prayed and we've sought the Lord. And it would be a particular place where we were in the practice of reading from the Word daily. And it would just happen to be right in the place where we were reading that a certain phrase or a certain sentence would speak exactly to what we were praying about, to what our circumstances were, to what we were needing, to what the situation was, because He's a living God. And He says this word is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It is a living book that points us by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of life, to a living Savior. And it's reading His word. It's as He says in verse 3, inclining our ear. Inclining our ear. Incline. He says three words there in verse 3. Incline, hear, come. Lean into, go after, pursue. Listen with the intent to apply, to obey, to act upon, to believe God's word. And then He, a few verses later, our verses for today, emphasizes the importance, the value. Why He tells us to come and to incline our ear and to hear with that intent to apply and obey and act upon and believe what He says. He says, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, the first thing about the word is it has purpose. It has purpose. As the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, He says they don't return there, but they water the earth and make it bring forth and bud. It has purpose. He says, I don't send it, I don't speak it, but it shall accomplish what I please and prosper in the thing for which I sent it. God doesn't waste His voice. He doesn't waste His breath. Every word of God is living and powerful and of tremendous, immeasurable value. What happens to the earth if it doesn't rain? What happens? Now, it's kind of hard to imagine with all the rain we've had and with driving through the water coming across the road out here because there's so much rain. But what happens when it doesn't rain? What happens when we experience drought? The one thing you cannot do without, it's not there. The shortest length of time is water. Water is of such tremendous importance. And He makes this point that the relationship of rain, of water, to life and fruitfulness on the earth, it's absolutely essential. So is the Word of God. That's why it's so precious. It's so important for us to spend time often, not just daily, whenever we have opportunity, but intentionally, at least daily, in God's Word. Asking Him to speak. Asking Him to water our soul to give to us His Word that will bring fruit from our lives. Our lives, our existence are kind of like the earth. The earth has the potential. If you plant a seed in it, the earth has what the seed needs in order to grow and to produce its fruit. But it can't do it without water. Won't do it without water. That's exactly, Isaiah, the Lord's point. As the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and don't return to but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. That's how important the Word is in our lives. Jesus thought so. He said in Luke chapter 6, verse 47 through 48, whoever comes to me, and here's my sayings, there's those two words again, come and hear, and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood rose and the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. The rock, the Word, is as solid and as precious and as essential to your life, to your existence, as water is to seeds and in all the earth. Secondly, it's precious. It's precious. It waters the earth as it is. It's absolutely essential to life and fruitfulness on the earth. So the Word of God is. If you're going to find and fulfill and experience the abundant life that Jesus promised, that He created you to enjoy, that Jesus saved you for, you will not experience it without spending time with Him in His Word. Hearing what He's saying to you. Hearing and seeing who He is, His ways, His thoughts, like He said, like we looked at last week in the earlier verses, that are beyond ours. His Word is precious. Moses wrote in Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, speaking to the children of Israel as they are preparing before going to the promised land, interjected here, put in the middle of his words to them, he says, so he humbled you and allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know. That's what the word manna means, actually. What is it? They didn't know what it was. Just that it was from God. He said that you didn't know what it was, and your fathers didn't know what it was, that He might make you to know. This was His purpose in it. That He might make you to know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word proceeds from the mouth of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Jesus quoted that very verse in the New Testament when He faced Satan, which we will look at in a few moments. That's how essential God's Word is to your life. That's why we have shared with you these devotional books, because they are tools to encourage you, to encourage us in our time in God's Word and with the Lord, listening, leaning in, seeking to hear what He's saying. The Word is also a process. A process. It teaches us that what God does, and the ministry of His Word, and the walk of our life with Christ is a process. It's a journey. And the journey itself is important. Learning to understand that God works in our lives in a process. I mean, you don't have instant ear of corn when you put a grain or a corn kernel in the ground, a seed. It's a process. That's what He says, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Seed always comes first. It always comes first. This is where it begins. A lot of times people want to know why God just doesn't seem to be doing anything in their lives at all. And they're not giving Him anything to work with. They're not spending any time with Him. They're not hearing His voice. They're not inclining. They're not coming. They're not asking. They're not reading God's Word and listening and allowing Him to sow that seed into their hearts. It's a process. Spending time with Him in His Word is essential. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing. And people wonder why they just don't have any faith. It just doesn't seem like they have any faith. There's other people that have great faith and they would like to have faith like this person or that person, but they don't spend any time in His Word. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Hearing by the Word of God. It's a process. Spend time with Him. Ask Him to speak. Lean in. Listen. Let His Word be like rain, like the snow and what it does for the earth. Let it water your soul. Let it teach you. Let Him guide you. Let Him instruct you. Let Him speak into your life, into your circumstance, into your prayers, into your needs, into your desires. They matter to Him. It is a process. Nextly, it's powerful. The Word of God is powerful. He said, it shall not return to me void. It shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Listen, God is upon the throne. God reigns and rules in history. God has given man free will. With that has come tremendous consequences. But it is essential to a love relationship. He doesn't force His life, His love, His forgiveness on anyone. He offers it freely, and to all who say yes and are willing and believe, they receive. To those who refuse, they have a free will, and they do and create and bring to pass horrible things. And living in our world in this day and time is easy to wonder what's going on. Is there some sort of battle and God's having a struggle? No. There is a conflict. There is a battle. There is spiritual warfare, but God is having no struggle. God reigns. His Word is true. And every single thing He has said in this book will come to pass according to His will, in His time, His way. And there is no devil anywhere or anything else that will stop. There is no power, there is no army, there is no person, there is no anything that can stop God in His will. What He said, He's going to do. It's going to come to pass. It will not return void. It will prosper in the thing for which He sent it. So wouldn't it be prudent to know what He says? To hear what He's doing? Wouldn't it be fruitful and powerful in our own lives to see, to seek out, to hear His promise, to see His ways and His thoughts about us and towards us, and stand on those, because it's a rock that will not fail, no matter what comes against us. That's what Jesus said. Dig down deep. Build your house, the house of your life, your home, your family, on the rock. When the floods rise and beat vehemently against your house, it'll stand. It will stand. Genesis says, in the beginning God created. Verse 3 of chapter 1 of Genesis says, then God said, let there be light. And there was light. All he had to do was speak. There is power in the word, the words of God. And what he speaks to you, as you're going through this book, you're praying, you're seeking, you're facing something, and God speaks a promise to you. One jumps off the page, so to speak. You just know in your heart when the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, when there's a word or a phrase or a sentence or a verse that's yours. And when it is, you can climb up and stand on top of it and know that it's a rock that will not give, and you will see the power of God bring it to pass. That's how faith works. That pleases God. When he speaks it, it comes to pass. When he was doing creation, that's what it says. It says, he said, let there be. And there was. Proverbs 18 and 21, verse 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. You know, you can build someone up. You can pick someone up. You can build someone up just with your words. And in the same way, you can tear down. You can destroy. Most of us husbands know real well what a word can get you into. You can say the wrong thing. And it has consequences. But I tell you what, you can say the right thing. Because death and life are in the power of the tongue. And he who loves it, recognizes, realizes it, and seeks through the power of the Holy Spirit to speak life, life happens. That's why Paul admonishes us, let your words be full of grace, seasoned with salt. The Word of God is powerful. And finally, the Word of God is our protection. The Word of God is our protection. It is powerful. It is enduring. It brings forth. It's productive. It's purposeful. It brings purpose into our lives. But it also is our weapon. It is the avenue of our protection. When Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit after coming up out of the water, when John the Baptist baptized him, the Bible says the Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted of Satan. He was there for 40 days fasting. Then he faced Satan, and Satan came with his temptations. And in response to each of the temptations, Jesus said, it is written. The Word knew the Word. And that was the weapon he wielded. And once it was done, he said, out of here, Satan. And he left. Because the Word is our protection. That's why Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17, talking about the whole armor of God. He says, and take the sword of the Spirit, capital S. The Holy Spirit's sword is the Word of God in your mouth. And it's powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. He says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You can't take it if you don't know it. That's why David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. A lot of Christians. I started to say take a knife to a gunfight, but that's not exactly it. But that's kind of what I was meaning. They show up to face the devil without a sword. Because they don't spend time in the Word. It's rich, it's living, and it's pertinent to our lives. every day. He speaks. He speaks over and over and over to us. Being filled with His Word brings purpose through that process because it's powerful and fruitful and gives us protection to live by. You want wisdom? Read the Word of God. You want to make a right decision? Talk to God and listen to His Word. He invites us to do that. That's what Isaiah was saying in verse 3. He says, incline. Come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. Jesus said, the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have eternal, that you might have abundant life. That you might have life, and that more abundantly, he said. Isaiah says it here. Come and listen. Pay attention. Hear. Want to hear what I'm saying to you. He says, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. When God makes an everlasting covenant, when God cuts a contract with you and me, which He did through the blood of Christ and our faith in Him, He promises the sure mercies of David. He promises mercies that are new every morning. They don't run out. So come and listen and find the sure mercies of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He is the Word of God. As we read in Hebrews at communion, He holds all things together by the power of His Word. You realize that all creation, all of the universe operates on a split second timetable. If one planet got out of where it was supposed to be at one time, what would happen? He holds it all together by the power of His Word, and He's given you and me the privilege of receiving that Word, of internalizing that Word, of living by that Word, of declaring that Word, of believing that Word. Let Jesus bring order out of chaos, peace, life, eternal, to your soul today and every day. Come to Jesus, hear His Word, and believe what He promises. When you read a promise, believe it. Accept it. Stand on it. And watch God bring it to pass, because He promised, it shall not return to me void, He said. That word that goes out of my mouth, that word that you hear from God, the Holy Spirit, it shall not return to Him void. It shall accomplish what He pleases. And it shall prosper in the thing for which He sent it to you. That's the heart of God. That's His ways. That's His thoughts towards you. They're wonderful. They're amazing. They're good. And they're eternal. And His mercy is sure. His mercy is sure. Just as it was to David, it is to you and I. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, who John said is the Word of God that was in the beginning. And Lord, it's in Your Word through this book that You've given us, the Holy Bible, that is Your inspired Word, Father, that we come to know You better, to hear Your voice, to know Your thoughts, to recognize Your ways. Lord, let us intentionally spend time with You in worship, in listening, in reading Your Word. In Christ's name, I pray. Amen.